Good day. Welcome in on the Friday as we end this week, as we are now 3 weeks away from college football season. A lot of speculation this week, though, about conferences not being the same. Now, this would obviously not affect the 2011 season, but it could affect next year.
Is this a repeat of 2010?
It seems like it, because the SEC, well, this time it's the SEC moving first. A lot of speculation about Texas A&M and other schools. But anyway, I'm joined here in the studio today by David Sears, who is with us very frequently, and he is back from a vacation on the Bun Sports Show. We gave him a couple of weeks off with pay.
I was very excited about that with pay part.
That's right.
That was the best part.
And he has the same salary as I do here, so he's making really a whole lot of
big
money.
Big bucks.
Anyway, the conference expansion, Texas A&M is who they were going after, and the question is, will it get done? And if it gets done, then what will be the next dominoes to fall? Because if Texas A&M comes, you have 13 teams, and you're going to have at least one or maybe three more teams to make it an even number, which has to happen. So what are your overall thoughts on just this whole shakeup?
My thoughts are it's a great move for the SEC to get Texas A&M. I know it's not the primary school of Texas, but it gets you into the Texas area. They're the second biggest school in the state.
Yeah.
They've got a huge following. They're very dedicated. They have the passionate fans and a decent-sized stadium, which will fit in with the SEC, which is something I think is a big factor. They won't admit it, but let's face it, this is a football move, not a basketball move. I really like A&M coming on because they're tired of Texas and all the garbage they have to put up with Texas being basically the big bell cow of the Big 12 with 10. And if they leave, that leaves the Big 12 with 9. I wouldn't be surprised to see Oklahoma come with them. And
really? Now, what I understand about that is that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are kind of like because of the politics out there in that state, that they're kind of a package deal, and that one wouldn't come without the other. Obviously, it would be Oklahoma that would be wanted without the other, but that they wouldn't come without Oklahoma State.
Well, I believe I don't always agree with Clay Travis, mm-hmm. but he believes the SEC is getting ready to go to 16, and we're going to enter the era of 4 16-team super conferences. I strongly agree with that. I really think we're going to head towards that. I wouldn't be surprised to see the SEC be the first conference to do that. 16 teams means a lot of football programming, which is where the big lucrative money contracts are for conferences. They're able to renegotiate their deal with ESPN, I think, in 2 years. Every 5 years, they're able to renegotiate it. If you have Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, and my wish list, Florida State, join the SEC, move Alabama and Auburn to the East.
Yeah.
Then you've got a powerful Eastern Division, a powerful Western Division. You're going to see some major football. This will also be moving the wheels of a college football playoff, because I guarantee you, a 16-team SEC league, there's no way someone comes out of that undefeated. And if they do, they're the best football team ever.
I just want to calm down all the Alabama fans out there. David, he doesn't know that we said no mentioning of Clay Travis on this program ever again. To all the Alabama fans out there, he didn't know that. So before anybody...
Was that made while I was on vacation?
Well, I mean, I don't follow Clay Travis anymore, Alabama fans. You all know that. I think if he said about the 16-team, 4 16-team super conferences, I think you could figure that out. But then again, a 2-year-old could probably figure that out, which a lot of people think Clay Travis is a 2-year-old. But I agree. I think it is all about the money and TV contracts. The question I want to know, what is the implication of the SEC on CBS contract? How would that be impacted by the SEC expanding its membership? That would be a very interesting thing to know, because would they have to re-up? Because right now they have does it go to 2017 or something like that? They have a long contract. Would they have to re-up that if they expand it?
I'm pretty sure Slive is going to come up with something. I would not be surprised to see CBS go to a doubleheader permanently. They lose viewership with the U.S. Open tennis. They get better numbers for SEC football. I would not be surprised if we have a 2:30 kickoff and then a 7 o'clock kickoff Central Time.
Sense.
You have a doubleheader, and then ESPN, that could be the 7 o'clock game is the prime choice. 2:30 is the third choice. ESPN gets second and whatever else is left. So I can definitely see the SEC doing that. I really think the SEC is going to be media savvy, especially with the way the Pac-10 is starting to position themselves electronically.
Yeah.
And with the new ESPN3 and Pac-12 starting to stream games online, and bitrate fees where they don't even have to pay cable cable providers a fee for carrying the game, I can really see the SEC moving towards pay-per-view internet games where all they have to do is they do everything in-house production-wise so they don't lose any money on it. So I think we're entering a whole new age of college athletics, especially with more and more people transitioning to internet-only households.
Yeah.
Especially with primetime Big Four network numbers going down. So we could see a whole new electronic medium, and I would not be surprised if the SEC was leading the charge in this.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's excellent analysis right there, because that's what it's all about, is money. Let's play a little game here. Let's assume that Texas A&M is the first edition of the SEC, which why Texas A&M is the linchpin, nobody will ever know. I think they're right now the most overrated program in the country, but they are. Let's just assume they are.
Well,
so,
my most overrated program, we're going to get to later because they had a huge injury this week, but I don't think they're as overrated. I think Sherman's got them on the right path, and I think they're going to be better, especially...
Well, okay, especially, but they're still Texas A&M.
They're still Texas A&M.
They would get out of Texas' shadow, though.
They would
do that.
And they'd be in a higher higher viewing...
Oh, sure, yeah.
And especially with the big ruling now that the Longhorn Network cannot carry high school games, Texas is basically...
It's been a bad week for Texas.
Texas basically gets to carry one football game a year and a lot of bad Olympic-level programs. You'll get some baseball games, but who cares?
Well, let's talk about who will the other three teams be, or one team. But I firmly believe, like you said, like the Clay Travis said, it's going to go to a 16-team format, so why not go ahead and do it? And I think the SEC would like nothing else than to be on the cutting edge of this. So who would those other three teams be? There's been, as you said, a lot of speculation about Oklahoma State, if they came as a package deal.
I think Virginia Tech is a legitimate option.
Missouri is an option, but I think today Palm Springs Report or something like that, and I probably have that wrong.
No, I think you're right. It was the Palm Springs Report, the
Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State report.
I mean, I don't see that advantage of that for Florida State to come to the SEC at all. That's just me.
I see it this way.
For either party.
I see a big advantage because it gives you a second foothold in Florida. It gives you
basically,
you've got the two biggest programs in the state of Florida.
Because
Miami is not that... I mean, let's face it. Miami is going to be rebuilding for a while.
Right.
What's the guy's name that left Temple that went there?
Al Golden.
Golden. I mean, he's a good coach, but let's face it. Miami had its heyday when it was under Jimmy Johnson, had that nice little resurgence under Coker with all the Davis recruits.
And Howard Schnellenberger.
Schnellenberger built the program.
Who's, by the way, retiring.
Johnson took it to the next level. Erickson continued it.
Right.
Davis kind of ran it in the ground.
I would say that Davis...
He got him on the big probation.
I would say, though, that Davis, man, he built that team that Coker won the championship. Like Gene
Chizik. I thought it was Davies that built the team.
No.
I think
it was Butch Davis that recruited the talent, and Larry Coker came in and won the first year he was there, the championship. I think that's how it's worked.
Was it Davis? Davis and Davies followed each other. It's one of those ways. I forget which way. But I think Miami's on the downswing. I think they were just culturally relevant for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think FSU with Jimbo Fisher, a Saban disciple, is going to be relevant for
a
while.
And Florida with a Saban disciple, Will Muschamp.
And I really think that FSU brings a lot to the table. Now, will Florida sign off on it? Probably not, because they want to be the only SEC team in the state of Florida. But I think FSU brings a lot to the table in the fact that they do have a good fan base. They have a nice-sized stadium. I know I'm harping on this, but I really think we need to look at stadium sizes. Sorry, Mississippi State. Sorry, Ole Miss. Your stadiums are not SEC-caliber stadiums.
Well, Vanderbilt has been needed to be kicked out of the
I wouldn't
SEC
be surprised if they
time.
If we saw a
but,
drop Vandy and pick somebody
but
else up.
GPA is where they come in, but I contend. We
don't need their APR.
I've always contended that if you're going to go for GPA, Virginia's got a better program than Vanderbilt, better stadium, all that kind of stuff, and they have equal as far as...
they do have fans show up to see them lose.
Yeah, well... okay, well, let's give three real quick. I'm going to say if I had to pick my three...
Besides Texas A&M?
Besides Texas A&M, I would say... I don't like Missouri. I think they're a Big Ten school, so I'm going to go with Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Virginia Tech. Those are my three.
I agree with you with the Oklahoma schools. I'm going to say FSU.
Okay.
And I think we see Auburn and Alabama switch to the east.
Yeah.
And the west will be pretty hard with A&M, Oklahoma, LSU, Arkansas, and... we'll kind of see some interesting developments with the Mississippi schools. We'll see if Mullen can maintain. And I think this may actually help Mississippi State if they go to a 16-team conference.
It could help a lot of those
Mullen,
teams,
Mullen will then have the chance to make a powerhouse in a big powerhouse conference. And he probably won't get a better shot. Mississippi State's supposedly going to spend a lot of money to keep Mullen because they really want him. They were nervous when he flirted with, was it Miami this past offseason? So I really think they're going to commit to Mullen for the long term. And I really think we could see a great football conference. I don't know about other sports. Let's face it.
Right.
Baseball, they're pretty strong. Football, they're very strong. Basketball, eh. Every other sport, eh. But I really think this could be the beginnings of the 16-team super conferences.
Oh, I agree with you.
We will see the Pac-16, the Big 16, and an amalgamation of the ACC and Big East.
Big East, yeah. I agree completely, everything you said. Let's quickly do this. Let's switch to on the field. We are 20 days away. Let's do our most overrated and underrated teams of the year, and I'll start with overrated. Who do you think right now, you've seen the USA Today coaches poll, as far as just national hype and so forth, who do you think the most overrated team in the country is right now?
I'm going to go with the Arkansas Razorbacks, and I'm saying this before Niles Davis got injured.
Yeah.
Is it Davis or Davies?
Niles Davis, yeah.
Davis got injured.
Niles Davis.
Niles Davis. I just want to add extra S's.
I know.
Niles Davis, to me, was the linchpin
on
an already shaky offense, and I know everyone's saying, oh, but they looked so good when he came in against Anderson, the quarterback that...
Oh, Tyler Wilson.
Tyler Wilson.
Yeah.
You don't know where I got Anderson.
He came in against Auburn.
Yeah, he looked so good. You know who else looked really good? Gilbert looked great against Alabama.
Well, yeah.
How did he do last year?
Yeah. That's a good analogy, yeah.
I thought they were going to be a more balanced team, but now I think they're going to be pass happy again. I don't think you can be pass happy in the SEC and succeed.
But they do have those great targets like Joe Adams, Ronnie Wingo, Greg Childs to throw to.
They do have that, but you know what? If it's third and three and you need three tough yards, you can only run so many slants and outs.
Yeah.
You're going to eventually have to just hunker down and bulldoze for those 3 yards.
And I think you're right on Niall Davis. That is a huge loss because that takes away that
1,350 of their 1,900-some-odd yards. So I know they were saying there was going to be a more even distribution of the ball.
Yeah.
But
it's over now.
It's a lot of pressure now. And Wilson is going to have a ton of pressure on him that he may not be ready to step into. But right now, Arkansas is my most overrated football team.
Well, I'm going to go with a tie, and I know you're not supposed to do this, but I'm the host, so I can do whatever I want. I'm going to go with a tie on a big scale and a small scale. I'm going to go on a big scale, Oregon. I don't understand why, just because every – do you realize that team sailed through a weak Pac-10 it was Pac-10 last year, and – this year, the Pac-10 has expanded to 12 teams, and I think they're going to get a lot more stiff competition out there. So I'm going to say Oregon, even though they have everybody returning, is the most overrated team in the country. I don't even think they win their own conference. I don't even think they win their own division. I think Stanford does when it's all said and done. On a small
scale...
They're
not in the same division as Stanford, are they?
Yep.
Stanford's in the north?
I thought
Stanford was in the south. Thought all the California teams were together.
I believe they're in the same division.
Oh wow!
I think so. On the smaller scale here in the SEC, Mississippi State. Trivia question, Sears: how many teams, other than Ole Miss, because they utterly do not count, has Mississippi State beaten against the West since Dan Mullen's been the coach there?
He's beaten Auburn once.
I'll give you a hint.
He's beaten.
It rhymes with hero.
I thought he beat Auburn in his first year.
No, Mississippi. Actually, Auburn beat them by about 20, 21 points that year. It was like 49-21, and that was Chizik's first year as well. But Mississippi State has beaten zero SEC West teams since Dan Mullen has been the coach there. I think they're overrated.
That was Kroom that beat that?
I think so, yeah.
Mississippi State beat them their first year in 09. Yeah, Mississippi State beat Auburn. They had to. Because I know Auburn upset Ole Miss, but...
Yeah. They are 0-8 against the West since Dan Mullen's been the coach there. Chizik's got two on Mississippi State, 2-0 since he's been the head coach.
I'm gonna have to disagree.
Okay.
The media guide?
Well,
where's the media guide?
I will get.
Come on,
the media
you've got your SEC media guide abundancies from your.
We'll get the media guide,
there.
But just for the sake of just for the sake of the end of the show, I'm going to go ahead and go to the Ole Miss being Mississippi State being 0-8 against the West because I'm right, just because I am. No, but that's on a small scale. I think Mississippi State's just completely overrated. I don't understand. I mean, I get the fact that they played well against some Eastern teams last year and they can beat Mississippi. I mean, everybody can do that, but. Come on, Dan Mullen. His first year, he's 5-7. That wasn't championship level. Mississippi State beat a pathetic Georgia, Michigan team in a bowl game last year, not Georgia. So I look for them to be a disappointment. Anybody counting on Mississippi State to win the West this year, they're going to get kicked by LSU and Alabama and Arkansas and everybody else. So.
Going back to your big prediction, I disagree with you. I think Oregon has the potential to be.
I disagree with your Arkansas prediction.
Exactly. So we can disagree to disagree. But
I like Stanford, though, man.
Stanford, I don't think they'll be as good without Harbaugh. I know they've got Luck coming back, yeah. But they're losing a lot on that offensive line, and we saw last year with Alabama.
You need Luck to win a championship.
You do need Luck to win a championship. When you lose an offensive line, how badly it can go for you if they just don't step up to the level you're used to. I agree with your Mississippi State being overrated. I still think they'll finish third in the West, ahead of Arkansas, behind Alabama and LSU. But I don't see.
I appreciate you letting the host be right and making those kind of predictions because you know they're going to be wrong just so I can look good. that is truly upfront of you, and that's what all co-hosts should do. No, I'm kidding, of course. Well, David, it's good to have you back with us on this Friday as we head into this weekend. Look forward to a great, as you said at the top of the show, another great college football season full of analysis. And after last year, who knows what can happen during the season?
Dark horse national champion pick right now. Who
okay.
do you say? Who do you say?
Oh, we were supposed to do underrated too, so I guess we could just tie this in. Yeah, I have said for a while that I like Wisconsin, and I don't know if that's a dark horse or not, but they're in my national championship game. I think Virginia Tech, if you want a real dark horse, because everybody's looking at Florida State out of that conference. Have you forgotten about Virginia Tech? I know they always come up a loss short, but it's better than a lot of teams. I like Virginia Tech.
I'm going to say Michigan State. I think the Bama beatdown.
Even after the 50.
I think the Bama beatdown will be their Utah game. Mm. Alabama, after the Utah game, regrouped, refocused, got their stuff together, and went on to dominate 09. I think Michigan State had their wake-up call. They saw what it takes to be a big-time football program, the level of talent they're going to have to reach, the level of the work ethic they're going to have to need to beat that. I like Michigan State to win the Big Ten, okay. And I like Michigan State as your dark horse national champ. I still think it's going to be LSU-Oklahoma, but I think Michigan State has a good shot if the ball bounces their way.
But you could have them in a BCS bowl against Alabama. Now, how cool would that? Well, I mean, cool.
I'd love to see them rematch in the Rose Bowl, but
that would
Alabama
be very interesting.
Alabama would probably be in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for this Friday show. We'll be back next week with another week as we travel on the road to college football. We are almost there. Hang in there. We'll be back next week.